Fantasy Edge with Jonathan Chan, Kevin Kuo, Richard Seville.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Fantasy Edge. I am Richard Seville of FantasySixpack.net, and joining me shortly is our full complement of Fantasy Edge edgers, Jonathan Chan and Kevin Hall, both also of FantasySixpack.net. Well, we are into the semifinals. We're just finishing off the, I guess we call it wild card week for fantasy playoffs for some, or quarterfinals, as you may put it. And some very interesting starts to the playoffs. I had a bye week in our fantasy six-pack league, and I'm just waiting to see what happens in for Scott Fishbowl. But, Jono, how did you do, and how are you doing in your fantasy playoffs? I know you don't have to. We won't have to talk about fantasy six-pack, but you can talk about maybe some. How about something good? Do you have anything good happen?
Yeah, move through to the next round of my big money league. Jonathan Taylor. T.Y. Hilton, now Nick Chubb. So things are going well in that league.
Kev, what about you?
Surprisingly, this year I was either a super hit or miss. So in all the leagues I made the playoffs, I got a bye, but except Scott Fishbowl. And if I didn't make it, well, obviously I didn't make it. So the only thing that mattered for me this week was Scott Fishbowl, but I killed myself early by playing Cam. So unless Lamar or Mark Andrews does something absolutely nuts, I probably am out.
Yeah, in Scott Fishbowl, I just need Lamar not to throw, just not to have a bad game. Just have, if he has a reasonable game, it should be okay. Just that's all I hope, and don't get hurt.
He's got a rushing touchdown already, so you're almost set.
Almost set, but a long way to go. So this week on the Fantasy Edge, we're going to be kind of be more a little bit more playoff orientated. So we're not gonna. So our usual moving on up. I mean, there's no point about anybody moving on up as because there's only three games left in the season and only two that are relevant to fantasy. So we're going to be a little bit more playoff orientated this week. But before we get into all that, a little bit of the news since the Sunday action. And we'll start with Deebo Samuel. Hamstring out a while. Shanahan will not rush him back unless the 49ers make the playoffs. But that seems like quite a long shot because they're 5-8. And as I looked on the playoff possibilities, they don't control their own destiny, of course, and they only have a 6% chance of making the playoffs. So looks like Deebo Samuel is going to be going out. But Kev, going forward, Deebo Samuel is basically a hands-on type of receiver. He's not a he's an after the catch type guy, as we've come to know. But how do you gauge him for 2021?
I mean, I kind of just consider him the same as I did coming into this year, but really it depends on which quarterback they get. I think with the Shanahan offense, it's not going to be, well, personally, I think Ayuk is better as a receiver, and Deebo Samuel has kind of been more of a gadget type guy. So Ayuk is the guy I'd want going forward. I don't think that Shanahan offense is going to be enough to support Ayuk and Kittle when he gets back, and Deebo Samuel as like a volume receiver. So I think the most you're going to get out of him is kind of like a high upside wide receiver four-ish. I think Samuel is probably one of those players who, like you always say, is better for regular football than fantasy football.
Yeah. And Jono, even if Deebo was to come back, you're not starting him in fantasy playoffs anyway, are you?
No, you can't. Coming off, a hamstring injury, which is notorious for, for re-injury. And then, as Kevin said, Ayuk is just looking better. So Debo's way too risky unless you're desperate with other injuries and whatnot.
Yeah, and Ayuk and Kittle, with them coming back. Kittle, I saw a clip of Kittle, actually. You mentioned him, Kev, that he seems pretty determined to get back to another Super Bowl. I saw clips on NFL Network of his determination to get back to the big game. So he's a real... I like his spirit of George Kittle, so he's a pretty good football player. And yeah, he'll be battling with Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk is gave a few eye-opening plays on the weekend, and definitely a starter for your fantasy playoffs, right? John Brown expected to return to practice this week, but my question is, Jono, Gabriel Davis seems like a better receiver than John Brown to me.
No, I don't think Gabriel Davis is a better receiver. I think John Brown is, he's just a healthier receiver than John Brown at the moment.
I guess that's fair.
Davis has shown flashes like as a big play guy, but I think Brown is still a better receiver than Davis is, given the, you know, given the opportunities.
Mm. And Kev, to the Bills offense, does John Brown, if he returns, does it just, is it a big uptick for the Bills offense for Josh Allen and company, or is it really not much different if John Brown returns? Because
I don't think it's not any different, since they're kind of rolling right now. And I mean, they play the Broncos and the Patriots next 2 weeks. I don't really think there's any defense to fear. So whatever Bills you have, or at least the Bills pass catchers, you're rolling them out anyways. Josh Allen, you're playing him no matter what. So if John Brown comes back, if he doesn't, doesn't really matter.
And Kev, staying with you, Matt Stafford doubtful for Week 15 versus the Titans. Are we going to see Kenny Golladay back, and how does that harm your Detroit pass catchers with Chase Daniel?
Yeah, I don't know what is going on with Golladay. I think he hasn't played in like 7 weeks, and for whatever reason, he hasn't been placed on IR. So first of all, I hate you because you're taking up a spot on my bench and I can't drop you, but you're going to be useless. And then, yeah, with Chase Daniel coming back, it's just a toss up. You know, everyone is going to be lowered in value. And the one that probably hurts the most is Marvin Jones, especially with Golladay coming back.
And, Jono, does this leave Swift as the only, trustworthy guy on the Lions for the playoffs?
No, you can still trust Hockenson. As bad as tight end is, like, Hockenson is still a top five option at the position.
Mm, okay. And Jono, what do you think of this? This news came out, the Texans coach, the Texans actually, have Deshaun Watson as part of the committee for selecting the new head coach. Do you think this is a good idea to get Deshaun Watson in on the talks?
Yeah, it lets him build, you know, trust with the ownership and a little bit of input on who the new coach is. And because right now Deshaun Watson is that franchise, and if they bring in another coach that's not going to work with him, then you're essentially killing another, what, 4 or 5 years of your franchise. So yeah, if he has a little bit of input, then it can't hurt.
Mm. And Kev, on the playoff side of things with the Texans, Kiki QT scored a touchdown, but not much more. Are we trusting him for the playoffs? And what about the running back situation?
I'm not trusting anything in that offense except Deshaun Watson. And if he's banged up, then obviously I'm not trusting him either. The whole offense is just a mess right now. It's hard to, if you're playing one of them, good luck to you. I mean, it's really not looking great. Kiki Kuti, I mean, he's probably what, a wide receiver 4? And at this point, you just, if you're playing him, you're lucky to even be alive.
Okay. Speaking lucky to be alive, Gardner Minshew, he's back in the starting role, and he will start in Week 15 for the Patriots. Kev, what difference does it make for the Jags off? And is he just gonna throw to his heart's content and just air it out and throw caution to the wind?
Yeah, I think upside for the Jacksonville offense, passing attack especially, is a little bit higher. I personally never really understood why Minshew got benched. It's not like Jake Luton is any good. So Minshew is just going to come in, and he's kind of, you know, he always gets the Ryan Fitzpatrick comparison, but it's apt. You know, he's just going to come in and sling it a lot. The Ravens theoretically should kill them, and so they should be playing from behind a lot. So I think as a Chark owner, you should be a little bit happy that you see Minshew back.
Mm-hmm. And that was kind of my question to you, Jono, is Chark, can we put Chark back on the chart, so to speak?
He moves up, like Kevin said, but I don't know if you can still trust him, because it's not like he wasn't targeted against the Titans. He had 9 targets, but he only caught 2 passes. Same thing week before that, you know, 7 targets, 2 catches again. He's been super inefficient. I don't know if it's Glennon or whatever, but this week he's going up. He'll be facing the Ravens, who are significantly better defense than the Titans and Vikings are. So yeah, I probably still wouldn't start him after the year he's had.
Mm. And of course, many people are very interested in the Christian McCaffrey news. And Matt Rule says CMC will play again in 2020. So there's no shutdown. But Jono, I don't think we can expect a full workload for for the Panthers just playing out the string, right?
Yeah, that's what logic would tell you, but you never know. It's a complete guessing game at this point. If McCaffrey plays, then maybe Matt Rhule lets him go full out. Who knows? We can speculate, but we can't really say. Logic dictates again that it won't be full workload, but who knows?
And Kevin, who on the Panthers do you like going into the playoffs? If DJ Moore returns, is everything okay with Teddy Bridgewater and the passing offense? And I'm speaking, of course, if Christian McCaffrey does not return. Are we okay with Fantasy Panthers?
Yeah, I think okay is probably the perfect word, because I wouldn't be too excited to start any of those three receivers. But, you know, they're serviceable enough as like a wide receiver three or a flex option. I think the volume is going to be there, as we've seen. And like you said, if McCaffrey doesn't return, then you can pretty much just expect to see more of the same.
All right. And Kev, finally, Justin Herbert, he needs just three more touchdown passes to set the rookie record for touchdowns in a season. And that's held by Baker Mayfield, which the score is, I believe, still 7-7, Kev, in the Browns-Ravens game.
Yep.
All right. So, and Baker Mayfield has 27. Do you think in the playoff sense, because that record is on the line, do you think starting Justin Herbert to see him go after it is kind of like an out-of-the-box thinking for fantasy playoffs? They play the Raiders this weekend.
Yeah, I think you start Justin Herbert no matter what. I think on the season, he's a top 10 quarterback when he's been starting, probably higher than that. And then on top of that, the matchup with the Raiders and then the Broncos next week, it's hard to bench him at this point. I know he's been kind of declining a little bit over these last couple weeks, but I don't think there's too many options that have a higher upside and a better matchup than him.
Right. And I mentioned Baker Mayfield, Jono, just as a side issue. Baker Mayfield, the way he's looking in this game, he's looking a lot more steady. Can we trust him in the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Like, he's been looking better over the last couple of weeks. He had a really good game last week, obviously, against the Titans. As you said, looks decent against a good Ravens defense. But he does get the Giants next week, who get another good defense. Obviously shut down Russell Wilson last week. So, and it's a primetime game, so I don't know how Baker does in primetime, but I guess we'll have to watch this one too. But yeah, if you need, you know, QB1 streamer-ish, like a low-end streamer, then yeah, why not go Baker?
Right. So just looking beyond this game. So Kevin, you got to keep us updated on what's going on with Lamar Jackson. I'm interested because of fantasy. Some bad fantasy scores this week. Cam Newton, you mentioned, Kev. Bad. Ezekiel Elliott, another low game. Chris Godwin. I'll be talking about them a little bit later. And Evan Engram did terrible for your fantasy playoffs. Two receptions, 18 yards. But the Giants were quite poor. Well, it's actually Daniel Jones, once again, as the one. The top fantasy scorers in the skill positions were Aaron Rodgers. There he is, right on time for playoffs. Derrick Henry doing it. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, the big names that you like, all top fantasy scorers this week in first week of the playoffs. So, time for what we learned. Kev, you haven't been around for a while, so why don't you start us? What have you learned this week and going into the playoffs?
I learned Gus Edwards is good. Okay, he just scored a touchdown. The thing I learned this week actually happened, I think, on Thursday. We just learned that Cam Akers is the dude in Los Angeles. Rushed 29 times for 171 yards against the Patriots. He was just really, really steady. I don't remember him breaking any like really long runs or anything like that, but pretty much every run he had.
I do.
Positive. Huh?
I remember him breaking a couple of good
runs.
Did
he have a long run?
Yeah, a couple of decent runs.
I stopped watching. That game got out of hand. Okay, four runs of 10 plus yards. That's actually, yeah, again, that's really solid. But the best thing about that is he played 81% of the snaps, and Malcolm Brown only got one touch on the game. So it seems like he's going to be the main guy in that backfield. I mean, we can all hope, but we never know with running backs. You can only kind of really assume that he's going to be the main guy given this kind of performance. So that's, you know, perfect, you know, that this backfield gets sorted out rounding into the playoffs, because, you know, we were dealing with that three-headed backfield prior to this.
Yeah, it took long enough, didn't it, to finally get that backfield sorted out. And I guess they basically just wanted to, because Akers is a rookie, they just wanted to bring him along, which they did rather slowly, but they did. And I think what really intrigues me is what we make of Cam Akers for 2021. What do you think, Jono?
Cam Akers probably ends up in like the second or third tier of running back, like the ones that you see get taken in the beginning of the third kind of area around where Kenyon Drake was this year.
Yeah.
You know, based off small sample size, really good performances toward the end of the season, that's probably where he'll get taken next year.
I'm actually thinking, the way I feel right now, I mean, from what I saw, the eye test, I don't know where you feel, Kev, but I'm thinking even mid-second round, as early as that, depending on things. I mean, there's so many good receivers that are out there right now. I don't know if it's going to be one of those zero RB years again, because we've got just tons of talent in the wide receivers right now. But how do you feel? Where do you feel on 2021 on Akers, Kev?
Mid second round would put him at pick number 17 or 18.
Yeah,
that's probably a little too rich for me. I can, off the top of my head, he's probably like RB 14 or something like that, which probably places him somewhere in the third round.
Okay.
I mean, there's going to be people who jump at him because, you know, he's a rookie. He's going to have upside. He's going to absolutely destroy the Jets next week. And and then he has Seattle in week 16. So he's going to win a lot of people their fantasy championships. And then I could see him, you know, pushing his stock even higher.
Mm.
But yeah, mid-second round, maybe a little too rich, but you never know with the hype going on next year. If they don't make any moves to the to the running back room, then, you know, he might be worth it.
Let's move along to Jono. What do you got, Jono? What are you seeing?
I got another rookie running back, Jonathan Taylor, again, finally arrived. It took until week 11 for the Colts and Frank Reich and the coaching staff to kind of figure it out. Over his last three games, he's averaging over 18 carries, 128 yards from scrimmage a game, and over 100 yards on the ground game on average. He looks good, very, very good, like the person that everyone thought he would be coming into the season.
Yeah.
Don't know why the Colts took this long to kind of let him loose. Maybe it was, you know, pass blocking or what have you, but now they actually have like a solid 1-2 with Taylor, you know, pushing piles, doing the early down stuff, and Hines coming in as a solid, solid change of pace. So Taylor, again, like Akers, he's going to win people some leagues, especially because he's got the Texans next week. And yeah, he's looking like a first rounder next year.
Yeah, he is. I would say he's definitely, I like him over Cam Akers for sure. He's definitely in the first round conversation, wouldn't you say, Kev?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is kind of what we all foresaw. It just took about 8 weeks longer than we expected.
Well, yeah, it did. And because we thought Marlon Mack hindered his value. But I don't know, things kind of were jumbly at the beginning and just didn't, I don't know, like you say, Jono, it took a while for him to finally arrive. And here he is, and now we're looking at 2021. And my main concern is that the Steelers are falling off at the wrong time, and especially Deontay Johnson, who got benched for half the game because of drop passes. He came back in the game, and I guess he got a bit of a tongue lashing from Mike Tomlin, and he actually sparked the Steelers to try and rally against the Bills, but it just wasn't to be. The Steelers just, Jono, they just don't look like they are strong and capable of carrying your fantasy teams. I mean, the only solid guy who's really, you know, holding the fort a little bit is Juju. So things are, your fantasy Steelers are not, are a little shaky right now.
Yeah, we mentioned this the past couple of weeks about the Steelers. They get extremely pass happy, and it becomes really easy to defend them because they just don't establish the run, for whatever reason. It's their O-line or what have you, but James Conner has not been good. I'll talk about him more later on, but, yeah, the offense gets too pass happy, too one dimensional. And if the receivers, like you mentioned, Deontay Johnson keeps dropping passes, then it just takes away most of what made them successful early on.
Yeah. And so, we'll talk about the running game and what they're going to need to do, especially entering the playoffs. They've really got nothing going. I mean, they cannot. I think there's a lot to do with the offensive line, but we'll get into that later. Moving on up. Now, we usually do moving on up here, and since there's no moving on up really to do because there's only three games left in the season, we will take a look at players that are worthy to put into a spot. And I like what I've been seeing of Gabriel Davis. And he's a guy I wish I could own. Now, he's not a perfect start, but right now I like him more than a lot of main players to start in fantasy. I think now I know John Brown is coming back and that might have some effect, but I'm not so sure about that. I think Gabriel Davis has earned a lot of trust in the offense, and Josh Allen keeps giving him looks. So Gabriel Davis, I think, is a very playoff worthy player for those in, I wouldn't say, it doesn't even really have to be a deep league, but excuse me, but definitely someone who can fill in, like if you're, you know, like say Kenny Golladay, we just still don't know what's going on, but Gabriel Davis, if you're stuck and you're in the playoffs, Gabriel Davis is not a bad guy to give a shot. He's a very playoff worthy player. Jono, you want to talk on that, if you want to expand or have a critique on that, you can, but
yeah, I mean, Davis, like I said before, he's shown flashes of being a big play guy.
excuse me.
But my issue is, as you said, John Brown is coming back, and Davis was already on the low end of targets. He had eight targets in yesterday's game, which was the highest he's seen since week 5. Otherwise, he's averaging under 5 targets a game. Even with Brown out in weeks 12 and 13, he only saw 4 targets in each game. So if with Brown back, he's not really going to get the volume that you need in a playoff start. So it's a risky start with Davis, especially if Brown plays.
All right. Go on with your playoff worthiness.
My worthy guy is David Montgomery. Probably pretty obvious at this point, but he got a lot of flack early in the season for the Bears' offense being terrible, and now he's just rising above that and proving that he's actually a really good running back. Granted, it is against some poor run defenses, but over the last 3 weeks he's averaging over 7 yards a carry. He's scored three touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. He's averaging just under 5 targets, and he's had just about 40 receiving yards in each game. The games could be even better if you can believe it. He's only had, like yesterday against the Texans in a game that the Bears blew them out, he only had 11 carries, which just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why Chicago decided to keep throwing it when they're up by 30 points, but who am I to say they won by 29 points? But Montgomery, upcoming in the playoffs, he's got the Vikings, the Jaguars, and the Packers again. So 3 soft run defenses that he can finish off the season strong.
Yeah, I really like, I think he's, I don't know, he's come to life at the right time. So definitely a good guy to have. And they play next. Who they got next up, Jono?
Vikings.
All right. Kev, I know you're a David Montgomery fan. I think.
Yeah, big time David Montgomery fan. Wouldn't expect him to get another 80-yard touchdown, but yeah, he's going to be steady going forward. Pretty much everything Jonathan says, it's hard to disagree with that. The volume is going to be there for sure. And if the offense keeps rolling, he's going
to
be good.
And like you say, they got the Vikings next, so good luck to that. Kev, who you got for playoff worthiness?
Yeah, so my moving on up is, or playoff worthiness, sorry, I guess just memory.
Same thing.
T.Y. Hilton. He's been on fire the last 3 weeks. He's got 277 yards and 4 touchdowns. We kind of wrote him off at the beginning of the year when he was just pretty much not doing anything, but he's come alive in the past 3 weeks, just in time for the playoffs. He's got Houston next week, who absolutely are just falling apart. Pittsburgh in week 16 is not a fantastic matchup, but if you kept faith in T.Y. Hilton or were able to pick him up, then you've got a guy you could definitely start.
Right. Yeah, Pittsburgh, and that would be the finals, and they got the Texans next. So that's we talked about T.Y. Hilton last week. Just came roaring back. I mean, he came in, I think it was an underrated, overrated thing. He was overrated, then he was underrated. And, I mean, he was lost. He was right close to off playoff radar, fantasy radar, wasn't he, Jono?
Yeah, just up until, three weeks ago, people were writing off T.Y., but hey, he's back. He's finally got that chemistry going with Rivers, and he looks good.
Yeah, he does. He's great. Moving right along to our next segment, which is playoff nervy playoff starters, and my nervy playoff starters are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers receivers, most notably Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. I don't know whether it's Brady or what it's. I know they beat the Vikings, but the involvement of Evans and Chris Godwin is a little bit worrying. I know that you probably have to start them, but Kev, they're not easy starts.
No, none of them are easy starts, but they're such big names, it's hard to get away from them. So that's the type of thing that makes these decisions pretty difficult.
Yeah, now we can look at the matchup for week 15, and they play the Falcons, so that might be a bit of a help. John.
Yeah, I mean that's a great medicine.
Yeah, anytime you're playing the Falcons. So, but I'm a little bit concerned about Tom Brady. But I mean, I don't know. I think there's definitely something. I think it's starting to happen, don't you think, Jono? That age syndrome is starting to show a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of age, obviously. Father time is, again, undefeated, the old cliche. But a lot of it also is that they're not really running an offense that's suited to Brady. Obviously, Brady likes his, short passes down the middle. But, his best weapon, Mike Evans, is, an outside receiver, deep pass, which is just really not tailored to Brady's strengths. And Bruce Arians has been slow to kind of adjust to what made Brady so good. So who knows if they're going to, adjust that eventually. He's also leaned a lot on Gronk, less so lately, but it's kind of thrown a wrench into the offense, slowed them down, made them a little inconsistent. So we'll see how they can work things out before the playoffs start.
Yeah, he is. Brady's trying to turn it into sort of like a Belichick-ish offense, and that's just not the way Arians runs things. And I'm not sure if... I'm not sure how it's going to work out in the off season for things. I mean, even Antonio Brown is like, why is he there? Basically, not using him very much. But anyway, Jono, playoff nerves for who?
Yeah, my playoff nervy guy is James Conner. I alluded to him earlier when we were talking about the Steelers offense. Conner over the last five games is averaging under 4 yards a carry. 3.5 to be exact. If you take away the game against the Jags in week 11, in which the Steelers won 27-3, he's averaging under 3 yards a carry in the last five games. This isn't exactly against good defenses either, like the Cowboys and Bengals, and the Bills run defense isn't great either. And like we talked about earlier, I don't know if it's the offensive line. I don't know if the volume is gone and he just can't get anything going, but Connor's not been good. The Steelers offense, as you said, is falling apart, and he's not scoring touchdowns. He hasn't scored since week 8 against the Ravens, and you can't really, trust based and go, oh yeah, it's the Bengals, he can score, because no, he didn't. Last time he faced the Bengals, he had 13 rushes for 36 yards and didn't really do much else. So I would be very wary of playing James Conner in the playoffs based on how the Steelers are looking.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think in the offseason, I think the Steelers are going to look for a new quote unquote bus. Like, I'm not saying that it has to be exactly like Jerome Bettis or anything, but, or Le'Veon Bell or something like that. But I mean, they definitely need that part of the running attack. They're so overloaded with wide receivers. And to tell you the honest truth, I don't think Ben Roethlisberger has got much wear on the tires left. Ben didn't look great. He was actually, we talk about the drop passes of the Steelers, but Ben, Ben look kind of like just lumbering around. He's not, I mean, Ben used to have a little bit more quickness around the pocket. I mean, he could move a little bit more, but he's just sort of lumbering in there. I don't know how you see it, Kev, but and speak about the running game too a little bit of the Steelers.
Yeah, they suck.
Okay.
Totally unbiased opinion.
Totally unbiased opinion. Yeah, he hates the Steelers because they're...
You all see it. They suck.
Well, yeah, they do suck. They do suck. All right. Who else sucks, Kev, for playoff nerves?
My guy is a big name. Probably went top four in your drafts. Ezekiel Elliott. He's just, I mean, this is pretty much exactly what we expected. It's just kind of been getting worse and worse and worse as the year goes on. I mean, he doesn't catch passes. If you were ever counting on anything for him, it was his volume and his touchdowns. But he's not getting the volume. He's not scoring a touchdown. He scored one touchdown since week five. So it's ugly for him. This week, he only played 60% of the snaps and had exactly as many touches as Tony Pollard did. He's kind of nursing a calf injury, so maybe that's a concern. But on top of all that, he has a really bad matchup this week against the Niners. So it's going to be really hard to start him. Although, you know, if you have him, he's somehow still the RB12 on the season, probably because he got off to such a good start. But don't be scared to sit him for like a lesser name. I know it's tough, but you got to do what you got to do.
I don't know. He might play better in Jerry World against the Niners. Maybe the Niners are hurting a little bit. They got pretty gashed. Well, I don't think they got gashed so much by Washington. Well, we'll talk about that when we get to Mr. Unlimited, but which is actually, it is time for Mr. Unlimited, isn't it? I think so. Is it that time? I'm checking now. Yes, folks, it is time for Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited. Gotta be unlimited.
Yeah, Mr. Unlimited this week. My Mr. Unlimited is, my Mr. Unlimited is Chase Young, representing the Washington DST. Scored 23. Chase Young just basically owned that game against the 49ers. Two batted balls, forced a sack fumble, grabbed a fumble for a touchdown, constant pressure on Mullins all game. I've never seen a defensive player, and he's a rookie too, he was awesome. I just have to say, Chase Young is an awesome football player. Number 99 of the Washington football team. My Mr. Unlimited is Chase Young, representing the Washington DST for Mr. Unlimited this for week 14. Jono.
Oh shoot! Can I even go with him? They win. They did. Okay. I forgot. Okay, I had to double check because I've done this before. Derrick Henry, in the most predictable 35-point fantasy game of all time. Derrick Henry went 215. And two touchdowns against the Jags. This is the third consecutive year that the late season second game against the Jags, he went off. I think it was 2 years ago, he went for 204 touchdowns. Last year was 180 and three touchdowns. So yeah, he is the highest scoring player of the week, and it's Derrick Henry. Come on now. Let's not get cute in week 14 with Mr. Unlimited.
Well, I don't know. It's up to Kevin. Kevin, you're the arbiter. You are the judge. Chase Young or Derrick Henry for Mr. Unlimited this week?
Yeah, I'm not going to get cute. Derrick Henry has been carrying me all season, and you love to see it. Just showing up when he wants to, when he needs to show up. 200 plus yards, two touchdowns, like clockwork. Like Jonathan said, somehow unsurprising, he put up 35 fantasy points. You love to see it. And when you fulfill expectations, you got Mr. Unlimited for the week.
And so, keep in mind that he, at the moment, he's at, he only needs 156 yards to get to 2,000. And then so he would only need 261 yards to pass Eric Dickerson's record, and he has the Lions, the Packers, and the Texans coming up. So he can straight up just do it against the Lions this week.
That can't be right.
I guess it could be, but
is right.
So
he can just straight up beat Eric Dickerson in week 15. Like, why not?
All right. Well, there we are. Derrick Henry. Mr. I shouldn't carp. He's on my fantasy team in F6P, but I just felt like Chase.
Gotta be unlimited.
I interrupted it, but anyway, Chase, pardon me, Derrick Henry. All right, waiver wire. Boo! Waiver wire time. Jono, you're the waiver wire guy. Start us off with who should be pick of all the RBs, WRs, and darn, we've got a few decent picks on the waiver wire this week. Who should we grab?
What position do you want?
I need a wide receiver this week.
I'll go with, well, I talked about Tim Patrick last week, so I won't do it again, even though he's still getting so much disrespect. I'll go KJ Hamler, his teammate. Hamler was kind of hyped up coming into the season as part of this incredible rookie draft class, and he finally kind of had a breakout game this past week, 86 yards and 2 touchdowns on 2 catches. He broke out for a 37-yard and then a 49-yard touchdowns in that order. He looks like the most explosive, like the biggest playmaker the Broncos have. He's not as steady as fellow rookie Jerry Jeudy, but he just seems to be a bigger playmaker. That could be because Judy's dealing with injuries or whatnot. But yeah, if Hamler gets a little bit more volume going forward, which would make sense considering the Broncos are a super young team, then he could pay dividends in the playoffs. But it would be a risk to start him just because you don't know whether he's going to get, you know, more than 3 targets, similar to Gabriel Davis in that sense.
I started Peyton Barber instead of Hamler in SFBX, so my bad. But
that was objectively the correct move. Nobody was going to see this coming from Hamler.
No, but could have started him maybe instead of somebody else too. I don't know. I can't remember my lineup. I was kind of a little bit disgusted about that move, but I still ended up okay because of Aaron Rodgers. But anyway, yeah, KJ Hamler, I like him. I picked him up. I'm surprised he was on the waiver wire. Unlike Kevin's section in the SFBX, you know, everybody's on the ball. That's funny about your Kevin SFBX. Your guy is your league, your section or division. Nobody seems to care. There's availability on the waiver wire for anybody you want, practically.
Yeah, but I think maybe it's just they're not worth wanting because we have, I think, 4 dudes in the playoffs right now. So, I can't really question what they've been doing all season.
Anybody you like on the board that John was set up here?
The easy one is Jalen Hurts. He has 2 great matchups coming up. He's a running quarterback, you know, the recipe at this point. We've seen it with Taysom Hill. Running quarterback, good matchups equals fantasy points. But the guy that I would like to advise guys pick up is Jeff Wilson, just because it looks like Mostert is hurt again. Jerick McKinnon stinks. Tevin Coleman stinks. And Jeffrey Wilson gets Dallas next week, who absolutely stinks. So, again, the recipe, go against bad matchups.
Don't mind that. I always get DeAndre Washington mixed up with the other Washington, the other guy with Dwayne Washington, I think his name is. And
yes,
I always get those guys mixed up. And so when I saw DeAndre Washington come on the field for Miami, hey, that's not DeAndre Washington. So I got, maybe I'm thinking of Dwayne Washington, because Dwayne Washington is kind of like taller and a little bit more lankier, whereas this, where DeAndre Washington's a little bit more compact and looks like a running back. You know what I mean? DeAndre Washington, yeah, he looks good. And Gaskin, if he's out, I like DeAndre Washington. Yeah, definitely. Jono, anybody else that we're going to pick up for the playoffs?
If you're struggling for a tight end, you can look into Dan Arnold. He's developed quite the rapport with Kyler Murray over the last few weeks. Arnold has 3 touchdowns in his last 2 games. And 4 of the last 6 touchdowns that Kyler Murray has thrown have gone to Arnold. The problem with Arnold, as with most streamable tight ends, is that the volume's not there. He hasn't gotten more than 4 targets in any game this season. But he's become a consistent red zone target, getting a red zone, red zone target in each of the last 4 games. Cardinal to be able to say that is Kenyon Drake. So Arnold is becoming a bigger part of the offense inside the 20. Which is all you can really ask for out of tight ends this year. Just somebody that has a chance to find the end zone, and that's going to be your guy.
Yeah, the only concern I have with that is that Dan Arnold, right now, I'm a little concerned about the Arizona offense and Kyler Murray. I don't know what's wrong there, but it just seems like there's no gas in the tank at the moment. Dan Arnold is kind of safe in a way, like you say, because Kyler Murray isn't. I mean, it took him how many quarters before he finally started throwing to DeAndre Hopkins? I mean, I wonder, like, it was like, when did DeAndre Hopkins get his first catch? Like, it was like, I don't think he had one. I think you were waiting for DeAndre Hopkins to get a catch in that game. Toronto, you probably know that.
No, I didn't watch the Cardinals game. I don't know how long it took DeAndre Hopkins to get a catch, but his line ended up looking pretty good, so can't really complain as an owner.
I guess not. But, yeah, they did. The Cardinals did win, so beat the Giants. We got to drop players to pick up anybody, so I'm going to start with a big one. Not really a big one, but a guy that's kind of like that you were only starting for the first half of the season, getting what you could out of him. I think you can drop Todd Gurley if you need somebody else. Which, well, Kevin, you gasped at that.
Would you drop? No, Chuck Clark just ran into the field goal post. Like he was trying to catch a Hail Mary that Baker overthrew, and he wasn't looking. He was trying to track the ball, and he just ran into the field goal post. He looks okay, but it looked ugly for like half a second.
All right. Yeah. Anyways, Todd Gurley. It looks like they're shutting him down. As you were probably, when you drafted Todd Gurley, you were kind of hoping for good production for half the season anyway, and kind of expecting him to tail off. And right on schedule, Todd Gurley. You can release Todd Gurley quite safely. And not only that, people that you're up against might say, oh, he's dropped Todd Gurley, I better go grab him. So, you know, they're kind of grabbing a white elephant at this point. I think Todd Gurley is spent. I think it's pretty fair to say you can drop Todd Gurley and not worry about it if you need somebody else. Wouldn't you say, Jono?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. The Falcons aren't really giving him volume anymore. After the bye, hasn't hit 10 carries, where before it he had, I think it looked like he was averaging like 18 or so carries before the bye, and then volume fell off. The efficiency is not there. He hasn't scored a touchdown since the bye either. So yeah, Gurley's a safe drop.
So we'll go to Kevin. Kevin, who are you going to drop from your roster that anybody droppable? Pick up one of these guys
This is a guy who I picked up in a few leagues kind of for the upside late in the season, but it just hasn't really worked out, and that's Alan Lazard. He's playing about 60-ish percent of the snaps, but he's just not really producing. Hasn't had more than 50 yards in a game and only one touchdown in these last four games. And 17 targets is nothing really to be excited about. So as much as the Green Bay offense is rolling, it's Davante Adams, like 80% Davante Adams and then 20% for the rest of everyone else. And it's looking like Tonyan and Marquez Valdez-Scantling are above Lazard in the pecking order.
Yep.
So at this point, I think it's pretty safe to drop Lazard.
Yeah, so Lazard has definitely dropped off to MVS. Clearly, as you say, and Tonyan, surprisingly, I don't know, Tonyan, a frustrating player at home, but, I mean, he's still getting the trust of Aaron Rodgers, and like you say, Alan Lazard, yeah, he's pecking order's problem. Jono, who are you going to drop?
I feel like I'm cheating with this one, but Leonard Fournette, he was already kind of being phased out of the offense prior to this week, and then he was a healthy scratch. A surprising one, but healthy scratch nonetheless. And
yeah,
this seems to be Ronald Jones's backfield now. So
yep.
Yeah, you don't really need to keep Fournette on your team unless you're holding out hope that, you know, Jones gets hurt or something, but otherwise completely droppable.
Yeah, I was actually surprised seeing McCoy getting touches. Why not? Where's Fournette? And I didn't even know Fournette was out of the lineup, was out this week, so until very late, and it kind of surprised me. And then there's McCoy in there getting touches. So yeah, Leonard Fournette. Yeah, just gone by the bye. Jono, I was just about to mention a playoff sleeper, and so you had a playoff sleeper for us for week 15.
Yeah, Dolphins wide receiver / running back, which he qualifies at for both on Yahoo, Lynn Bowden. Rookie came in, and with both Devontae Parker and Jakeem Grant leaving with leg injuries, it looks like neither are going to play next week. Specifically Grant, he's already week to week, so he's not going to play. But if Parker doesn't, then Bowden could be the guy. He already led the team in targets, receptions, and yards against the Chiefs, and he would probably be the Dolphins' like number two weapon in the passing game, behind Mike Gesicki. And I understand that the New England secondary is a lot easier, a lot more difficult to attack than the defensive line. But Bowden's versatility and just his playmaking ability should at least make him a big part of the game plan if Parker and Grant don't play.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting if they're only out a game. It's too bad they weren't playing the Raiders in this week, because they play the Raiders in Week 16. And even if you don't start them, you might be even worth stashing for that Week 16 game if Parker isn't ready, right?
Yeah, definitely. As long as Parker's hurt, then Bowden's going to have a role.
See who we've left out. It's me, Tyron Johnson. Yeah, Tyron Johnson. Mike Williams left the game. I don't know if he's coming back, but there's also Jalen Guyton, who's also another deep threat of the Chargers. But Tyron Johnson is definitely a guy that you can probably pick, especially they play the Raiders now. The Chargers play the Raiders in Allegiant Stadium. I believe it's there. And indeed it is. The Chargers are at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. So it should be with Justin Herbert looking to get that rookie title for most touchdowns in a season. He's going to be looking deep and for good shots. So, and I'm not saying that the Raiders defense are porous or anything. He's probably going to get some good pressure up front. And so if Herbert can avoid the sacks, and which I think he can, but I don't know, there's a bit of a thing with Herbert going on right now, is that he seems to be checking down a little bit more. I don't know whether it's the fact that Eckler's back in or whatever's going on, but anyways, you got to win in Week 14. So I think I like the fact that we're definitely looking at a good pickup, at least to perhaps start only in an emergency, really. But, definitely a guy to go out and grab. So Kev, you've got the last word, and so you can speak to our two guys, or just go straight into your own guy.
Yeah, sadly, I'm going to go finish it off with this guy named Chad Hansen. I'm looking at his profile picture. He looks like a Chad. It makes sense. But he's caught 12 to 14 targets in the last 2 weeks, 157. Oh, I should mention he plays for the Texans. People right. might not know that. 12 to 14 for 157 yards. It's not terrible. In half PPR or PPR, that's getting it done. Seems to be your typical gritty lunch pail type receiver, and he's 6'2", 202, so never mind, I take that back. But with the Texans as banged up as they are, Deshaun's got to throw the ball to somebody, and I guess it might as well be this dude.
Honestly,
if you're starting this dude in either week 15 or week 16, you either are in a 16 team league, or you just have a free roll anyways, because you don't deserve to be here.
I should also mention that Tyron Johnson had 6 receptions in that game, by the way. So, final thoughts, gentlemen, going into week 15. Some of the games coming up. I'll just mention this. We've got a lot of time left in the podcast, so be able to zip through a few big games. You've got the Patriots at the Rams. Is it start your Rams? I guess it is.
You mean the Jets?
Pardon me, the Jets. I got the wrong week here. I'm still living in last week. I don't know what's going on today. I'm just completely out of it. Where are we at? They got the Jets. We've got the Chiefs at the Saints. Now we're hoping that, you think Breeze will play? Supposed to be back, isn't he?
He says he's going to try to come back, but they don't really need to rush him.
I suppose not. Let's see. Some other interesting matchups here. Patriots at Dolphins. Jono.
Yeah, that's a big game. I mean, the Patriots have to win. They have to win out and get some help to make the playoffs, which probably not going to happen, because the Ravens have to lose to either the Giants, Jags, or Bengals. So, no, probably not. But, fun game.
Kev, what do you think of Eagles at Cardinals? Jalen Hurts again against...
I'm hoping it'll be a little bit of a shootout. You've got two mobile quarterbacks going against each other, two quote-unquote offensive geniuses at coach. So, maybe it'll be a shootout. Hopefully it'll be an entertaining game at least.
Yeah, Jono, I'm a little worried about for the Seahawks going up against this very fired up Washington defense. The Seahawks go to Washington. Are your Seahawks safe in a game like that?
Of course they are. Josh Gordon is returning, so Washington defense is an automatic bench.
No, I mean seriously.
No, dead serious. Bench the Washington defense. Josh Gordon's got a new dimension to that offense. There we go. I can't believe you forgot. You just set me right up for that one.
I didn't set you right up for that one because Josh Gordon
set me right up.
Josh Gordon is a non-entity, and you know it.
WR1.
WR1. Who's he gonna play? I don't know. Actually, they could put him in the place of Tyler Lockett. I have to say, a bit of worrying times. But in a game like this, against Washington, I don't know. It's kind of a worrying thing with the pressure that Russell Wilson's gonna find in this game. I think this is a real trap situation. Might not be. It might be that the Washington they just had that massive game, but I don't know. That game kind of concerns me. It should concern your Seahawks if you own Seahawks. But I don't know. Their defense really looked tough. So I think the best matchup I think of the week coming up next week, Kevin, is Texans at Colts.
Texans at Colts. Yeah.
That looks like a really nice fantasy.
I mean, the Colts are rolling, so. We'll see.
So, thank you for joining us on the Fantasy Edge. We will see you for the Fantasy Finals. Maybe, I don't know. We're getting close to Christmas. I don't know whether we're going to have a show or whether it's going to be on the normal day. But we'll see how next week pans out as we approach Christmas. And it'll be our Christmas show for week 16. So, but we'll have a show. We'll have a show for Christmas. So, we'll see you next week. I'm Richard Seville for Jonathan Chan and Kevin Hall. We'll see you next week on the Fantasy Edge. Good luck in your playoff semifinals. Awesome. Yeah.